My lesson today I want to talk about is faith, a firm foundational teaching on faith. Faith is the most powerful force in the universe. Faith is our access to a world of unlimited possibilities. In Luke chapter 1, 37, with God all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, and it says this, I'm reading this out of the New King James Bible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the Bible teaches us in this particular passage, this particular verse, that faith has a tense. It says now faith is, not now faith was, or now faith will be, now faith is. So that lets us know if we're going to operate in faith, you got to operate in present tense. I'm going to be here, or I am going to be blessed. That's not in faith. I am blessed. I am healed. I have joy. The Bible talks about God. In Romans chapter 4, it says, God called those things that be not as though they were. And if you look at the scriptures, one element you see about God, he's a faith God. When dealing with Gideon, he called a mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor. When you look at Joshua, and God said, hey, I've given you the land, okay? I've given you Jericho. Mind you, at that particular time, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, none came in and none came out, but God says, I have already given it to you. So when God talks, when God dresses us, God speaks to us with the eyes of faith. And oftentimes it feels kind of crazy. I shouldn't say that. Well, guess what? If you're going to talk God's talk, okay, the language of God is faith. Now, the key is you need to look and study the scriptures so you can see how God operates, okay? Now, in Romans, and no, let's go back in Genesis, when God began to deal with Abraham. Mind you, Abraham was childless. He didn't have any children. But God changed his name, not after he had the baby, but before he had the baby. And God said, hey, your name will no longer be Abram, but your name will be Abraham, a father of many nations. So Abraham had to start calling himself what he was believing God to do in his life as if it was already done. Are you there?
Yeah.
So faith is like God, Romans 4:17, calling those things that be not as though they were. And there's many scriptures. The Bible is filled with different scriptures where you see God calling those things that be not as though they were. But what is faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We said faith has a tense. Faith operates in the present tense. Not only that, but faith has substance or material. Now, Bible says now faith is the substance of things. What thing? Those things can be healing. Those things can be wisdom. Those things can be joy. Whatever thing that you need, now faith is the substance of things. Now, you're the one that fill in the blank for the things. But it doesn't stop there. Now, faith is the substance of things. Things what? Hope for. So if I'm going to operate in faith, I need to extract and understand the definition of faith. So we see here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now what is hope? Now hope means earnest expectation. Hope is the goal setter of your faith. Hope is the target of your faith. I don't care how old you are, guess what? You need to know how faith works. If you're going to talk to God, if you're going to pray, you got to pray in faith. And many times we just throw something out, but no, God wants you to know to pray intelligent, and because God wants to raise up smart thinking Christians. Christians who know how to talk to God on a smart basis and get great results. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
So we have to be able to not just read the scripture, but we have to be able to digest the scripture, study the scripture out, so we can get the most out of the word of God. Now, if you see here, now faith says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does hope be said? Earnest expectation. Faith is what? The goal setter of faith. Faith is the target. Hope is the goal setter. Hope is the target of your faith. Now, faith is established in the present. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hope is established, or hope is directed in the future. Faith is established when?
In the present.
In the present. Hope is directed where?
In the future.
In the future. Hope, expectancy concerning things that are yet to be. Now let's go to a classic example, Mark chapter 5, looking at verse 25. Faith is established in the present. Hope is established directed in the future. Hope is the target of our faith. Hope is the goal setter. The only way your faith can produce, it needs something, it needs a goal. Okay? You just have faith in faith, you're not going to get no results. Are you there?
Amen.
So Mark chapter 5, verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And look at this image here. When she heard about Jesus, faith comes how? By hearing. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I believe she apparently must have heard that he was a healer. You're not going to go to nobody or touch somebody if you don't think they can help you. Are you there? Okay, so she goes on to say, for she said, for who said she said? If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well, a whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the infliction. Now, notice here, the woman target of her faith was where? Touching Jesus' clothes. Do you see that? Faith comes as you do what? Hear the word. Romans 10 verse 17, so that faith come by hearing, not having heard. It's a continuous hearing. So, and not only that, but you need faith to do what? To please God. If you're going to please God, you're going to need some faith. Now, let's put your ribbon there. Let's go back in Hebrews chapter 11. If you're going to please God, the way to please God is by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So in order to please God, I'm going to please God how? By faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God reward those who study and search out the scriptures, seek him out from the word. God said, I will reward you. Are you there? Now, our faith needs a target in order to produce what you desire. So whatever you need is, whatever you believe in God for, your faith needs a target. Okay? In order to produce the very thing you desire. From the woman's issue of blood, we learn that faith has virtues. When your faith is alive, virtues flow from God to deliver my desires. Are you there? Now, Mark chapter 5, look, she connected God on what happened. Virtue flowed out of God. Now, Jesus is who? The Word. You do know that, right? John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So when we connect with the Word, guess what? Virtue flows from the Word when we connect with the Word with our what? Faith. Now, let me say that again. When faith is alive, virtue flows from God to deliver my desires. Or I can say it connects the power of God to deliver my desires. Faith also, going back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you can go back there. Faith is the evidence of things I do not see. Faith is not what I see. Faith is the evidence of things I do not see. So, faith has what? Evidence. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Okay? Evidence is the outward proof to attest that something is true. I don't have the very thing in my hand, but I have evidence of it. Are you with me? So faith, as a man of God said, faith without proof is fake. When it's void of evidence, it is not faith, it is what? Fake. Everybody say fake.
Fake.
Evidence is the data on which a conclusion or judgment may be based. For example, verbal statements or any material object is admissible in a court of law. They're looking for evidence. They want some evidence, and also they want some witnesses. Okay? They're not just going to say, well, so-and-so did something to me. Okay, where's the evidence? Did anybody see? Are there any witnesses? So, now, for example, somebody been tried for something in the court. They call for the witnesses that they said, and they want somebody to testify of what they know. To give their testimony does what? Provide more evidence or either to convict or acquit the person. Let's say your mind is not convinced that they're true based on God's word concerning your situation because of what you see or what you feel in your body. You must get some more proof by getting some more scriptures to become fully persuaded what God has promised will come to pass. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. So many times we're trying to have faith in the head.
Right.
Faith originates out of the heart. See, God knows when you're in faith and when you're not in faith.
Amen.
Faith is an inside job.
Amen.
Yes.
Now Romans, I said go where? Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded, see, you got to be fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Our problem is sometimes we're not fully persuaded, so therefore we're not getting our desired result. We believe in halfway, but we like to talk a good game, try to sound good, but see, faith is the inside job. God knows when you're in faith. Romans chapter 10,
Amen.
Verse 10, faith originates out the heart. For with the heart, one believes. With the what?
Heart.
Not with the head, with the heart. One believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession made to salvation. So there's a mouth and heart, a connection here. With your heart, you believe, and what you believe in your heart will come out of your mouth.
Right.
Are you there? And now, so he said, faith has evidence, and evidence is outward proof to attest that something is true. Now, faith evidence is in the Word of God. Faith evidence is where?
In
the Word of God. Faith deals with what? Faith deals with things seen?
Unseen.
Faith deals with things not seen. Faith deals with things not seen. Faith deals with things that you do not see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things what? Seen.
Not seen.
Oftentimes, we try to use our faith by seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get discouraged because we don't see. No, faith deals with things not seen. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by, or live by, or govern ourselves by faith, and not by the outward things that we see, not by sight.
Right.
Faith is not based on the evidence of our physical senses, but on eternal truth and the realities revealed by God's Word. Sight deals with, related to our physical world, sensual, things that we touch, taste, smell, hear, and see. Our senses deal with things that are the material, changeable, temporary sense. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. See, if you're going to walk in faith, you've got to walk in faith according not what's in your head, but according to what's in the Word of God.
That's right.
Because anybody want to see it and then believe it. And you can do that. That is called human faith. God does not commend human faith. He called that faithlessness. John chapter 20, verses 20 through 29. You can read that story about Thomas. He tells you one of the boys, he decided not to go to church that Sunday when Jesus showed up. And then when the disciples got happy and told him, hey, Thomas, let me tell you, Jesus showed up. Thomas said, unless I see him for myself, unless I touch his hand and feel his presence and all that, I ain't going to believe. Guess what? Jesus here when you're talking that kind of talk. See, that person may not be around, but Jesus hear what you say about that person, what you think about the person. Because sure enough, Jesus was not there physically, but he came back and said, okay, Thomas, here I am. And then he became the great pretender. Oh, my Lord! And all the disciples said, you know what? Sit it down, please. Sit it down. So then Jesus helped him out and said, blessed are those that don't see and believe. See, and he called that seeing and then believing faithlessness. Now, that's some strong talk. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because without faith, you can't please him. But with faith, you can please him. And you're here because you're a person that's going to please God by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But the temporary things, what we see, the substance change. While we do not look, verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, how do I look at the things that are not seen? I look at the things not seen by looking at the Word of God. Because the Word of God is my evidence. I look at the things not seen by looking at the Word of God. And because the Word of God said, I believe it, so what I don't see will appear because of what? God's Word.
That's right.
Because if Abraham looked at what he saw, He would never became a daddy. And Simon became a mother. So that was, so you don't look at things that you do see. What did they have to look at? They had to hold on to the word of God.
Yes.
See, the word of God is the most powerful force in the universe. That's why the enemy don't want you to grow in faith or in the word. Because the more word you have, the more faith that you believe, the more dangerous you're going to be, and the more things you can do for the kingdom of God, for yourself, for your family, for the community, for the church, so forth and so on. So Abraham, they cannot look at what they see. That's why he said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because in the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, you're going to go study that, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. It's talking about how Sarah was dead.
Yes.
And homeboy stuff was dead. So the natural, things are not looking good. But they held on to the what? The word of God. And the word produced life. Now, having said that, so there'll be challenges with your mind, because your mind's going to mess with you. But go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Faith deals with the revealed truths of God's word. That which is invisible, eternal, and unchanging. What does faith deal with? The revealed truths of God's word. That's why to be a person of faith is going to do great things for yourself, for your marriage, for your family, you got to get into the word. Amen. Jesus said, if you continue on my word, you are my disciples indeed, for you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, but you can't be free unless you know the truth.
Amen.
Jesus defeated the devil not on a whim or on emotion, but he defeated the devil on the word. He said, it is written. Thank you. It is written. And he said it one time. The next temptation, it is written. Then the third temptation, it is written. See, you wonder how come you can't defeat the devil? Because you're trying to, oh no, please help me in your own strength. You better get some word in that area. Because when your flesh is calling, you got to be able to say, hold up, it is written. But if you don't know what is written, you can't quote what is written. And at some point, you got to get off the internet, turn off the television, and open up that Bible. Well, I'm saying the Bible on the computer. Yeah, right. Okay. Get one of these, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Faith is the inside job. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor, glory forever and ever. Amen. Malachi chapter 3. See, the word of God doesn't change. Things may get you by surprise. They don't get God by surprise. So since God's words don't change, guess what? Everything will be all right. When you connect with the word of God, the key is you got to connect with God's word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. I don't know about you, that means tremendous peace in my life, tremendous security in my life, tremendous hope in my life. The things that can be changing, God said, hold on, baby, I don't change.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm the same God before the situation came. I'm the same God in the midst of your situation. And I'm the same after the situation. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So now, again, some people try to make faith. This is where all the time we mess up. Try to make faith as an intellectual acceptance of certain facts and of doctrine. That is not scripture faith. Faith is a condition of the heart, not just the head. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And we already read that scripture. So you can have a whole lot of scriptures in your head and not operate in faith. You can be mental assenting, just agreeing with the word of God. But, you know, in order to have the peace and the joy and walk in the anointing and the wisdom and the favor of God, you need more than just agree with your head.
Amen.
That's like going to school and say, yeah, I know, I agree, I need to study. And still flunking out. That ain't gonna do it. That's like getting gas in your gas tank. You say, yeah, I know. I need to get gas. And you got a 50-mile trip to go to, and your needle's talking about 20 miles left. But I know. But I'm gonna get there.
Okay.
I agree. Well, you better do more than agree. You better pull over, or you're gonna be pulled over.
Uh-huh.
Your car's gonna pull you over. Now, this is the fight, this is the challenge. That carnal mind and that spiritual mind.
Yeah.
That carnal mind and that spiritual mind. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. God wants us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, but he don't want us to be carnally minded.
Amen.
the Christians, he don't want to be Christians, the carnally minded, be just ruled by our carnal thinking, just reason and logic. There's a point, a place for reason and logic. God wants us to be able to reason and logic and think, but think in terms of the Word. Think through with the Word. Are you there? Could it be carnally minded by the raw system? This is what the Word of God says. Romans 8 verse 6. But to be carnally minded is death. Death to marriage, death to life, death to a career, death to vision. Could you think all carnally? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go after being spiritually minded. You have life and you have peace. And we're not talking about the physical life. That you're already alive. We're talking about experiencing the God kind of life and having peace in any situation. I think it's worth being what? Spiritually minded. Now, carnal minded, accept what our senses reveal to us. Did you get that? Carnal mind, accept only what our senses reveal. Spiritually minded goes and says, our faith make the truth of God's word more real than anything that our senses may reveal to us. We do not base our faith on what we see or simply on experience in the natural. But our faith is in God's word, and that which we see or experience is the outcome of that which we believe. Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. See, at some point you will have to believe. And not you lose heart. You lose heart in anything that you're doing. David said, I would have lost heart. David said, I'm going to be honest. Me, David, David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I will what? See the goodness. See the what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or let's bring it home. See the goodness of God in your situation. Talking about faith, John chapter 11, verse 39. This is a foundational teaching on faith. Jesus said, take away the stones. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would what? Believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and he who died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Amen. Come on now, that's powerful. Amen. So I believe, and Jesus talked about faith. He talked about faith. So if anybody you need to listen to is the word of God and what Jesus said, because unless you raised in the day, you'll need to be coming against faith teaching. Until you start walking on water, you need to lower that down. Until you've been able to speak to the sea and say, be still.
That's right.
Before one to come against water, until you're doing what Jesus did,
all right.
You need to lower that down. That's why we look at what he said. The brother, and that's not one time, you know, folks say like a championship game. You know, or like in the sports, they say the underdog team beat the champion, the number one team. And they said if they don't do it again or say the next game, people see that as a fluke.
Right.
So if Jesus would have just happened to do it with one time in the day of Lazarus, people say, oh, maybe that was his luck. Come on.
Right.
But he stopped another funeral.
Right.
Woman only had, what's going on? Woman had a baby, the boy died, hold up, touched the coffin, okay, boy, come on back up. And then so much so, he raised his disciples to raise the dead. See, so they don't like, so therefore you might want to listen. Because
yes.
A man operated in the faith that he said, hey, you can do the same thing. Now, so you may have, not a physical person that you got to raise the dead, but you may be in a situation that's seeming hopeless and lifeless.
Right.
But you can use your faith, and guess what? Your dreams, your career, your vision, everything can come back alive.
Yes.
Now, we want to move on and close out with this. How do I get faith? I tell you what faith is. Now, how do I get this faith?
Okay.
When you receive Christ in your heart, God gives you a measure of faith. When you get born again, you immediately get a measure. Everybody starts with the same measure.
Right.
So the moment if you got born again just yesterday, or you've been born again for a minute now, everybody starts with the same measure.
Yes.
It's up to you and I what we do with that measure that we have received. Uh-huh. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me and to everyone who among you, not to think of this more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Yes.
So I receive when I get born again, I get what? A measure.
Yes.
And then if I want the faith to grow, what do I need to do? Hear the word of God.
Yes.
Constantly. Faith come by
hearing.
Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now, faith comes to enable you and I to do the will of God. The purpose of faith coming to enable you and I to do the will of God in a particular situation. Now, write down Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, and I want to encourage you to read that. When Jesus asked Peter for his boat, and Jesus used Peter's boat, and then after that, guess what? He told Peter something. Launch out into the deep. Now, Peter could keep on, amen, Jesus, amen. You're preaching good. Now, Peter launched out to the deep. Oh, hold up. Matthew, we traveled all night. So you do all that mental assenting. Until you act on the word, you just mentally assenting. But when he acted on the word, he got his blessing. Are you there? So faith comes to enable you and I to do the will of God. The woman with issue of blood heard and moved in faith and touched Jesus and got her desired result. Now in closing, how to use my faith correctly. You know what faith is?
Right.
You know how faith comes. How do I use my faith correctly to get my desired results? Five things I'm going to close out with. Number one, my faith must, capital M, capital U, capital S, capital T. My faith must be in God and in His Word. Not in some experience. Your faith must be in God and in His Word. Why is that? Because Jesus said it, and he operated in great faith. And Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So my faith must be in God and in the Word of God. Are you there?
Yes.
Jesus instructed you and I to believe what we say will come to pass. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Number two, how to use my faith correctly. By words that I speak out of my mouth. I use my faith correctly by the words I speak out of my mouth. So my mouth has a part to do with me using my faith correctly.
Yes.
How did you get that? Because what I just quoted you in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus says here, I say, whoever says, your mouth speaking, to this mountain or situation, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says for the second time will come to pass, he will have what he says. He said it three times. So, by the words that I speak out of my mouth, Proverbs 18, verse 21 says what? Death and life are the power of the tongue. So my tongue has power. And Jesus says, if I say and believe what I say, it will come to pass. I have been made in God's image and in God's likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. God never intended for you and I to say things that we did not want to come to pass. And how many times we just say stuff all fly off the handle. Man, I tell you, boy, you take me to death. Oh, really? Yeah, I don't think you really want that. I mean, dude, we just say stuff. So that's why it's hard to believe the words that we say because we say them so loosely. So we got to get the custodian of our lips. Why is that, Pastor? Because my words can either ensnare me or release me. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Showing you how to what? Use your faith how? Correctly. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, it says this. You are snared by the words of your own mouth. Nobody else did that. No, your words did that. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Then write down Matthew 12, verse 33 through 37. Number three, how do I use my faith correctly? Do not doubt in my heart. Jesus talked about if I don't doubt in my heart, I will have what I say. Amen. You can doubt in your head, but don't doubt in your heart. Amen. Why? Because what's getting in your heart is going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who said that? Jesus said that, okay? Don't forget, Jesus is a teacher of faith. So if anybody can teach us something about faith, he can. And so we just stand what Jesus taught us. Why? Because he just got results. He put the devil in place, Jack, and he was successful in his life calling. So he says, do not doubt in your heart. So that means do not doubt where? In my heart. Why? The doubt and unbelief can stop the power of God working on your behalf. Number four, how to use my faith correctly to get my desired result. I must have corresponding action to what I believe. James chapter 2, verse 20. Faith without works, corresponding action, is dead. Faith is not just believing God, but faith is obeying God and His Word. John chapter 2, 5 and 6. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. So I must have corresponding action. Number five, last one. Faith and patience also work together. Faith and patience always work together. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. With this teaching, you can begin to use your faith and get your desired results as long as you follow the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says this, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So you pray according to the Word of God. And then guess what? If you don't say it immediately, then you use the force of patience. You'll wait for the manifestation of what God promised. Why? Because you know God's a God of integrity. And he said, times went into an hope of eternal life. God cannot lie. Promise before the world began. So I use my faith, and in this scripture says, and patience, you will inherit the promise. Patience is what? You got to be consistent and not be moved by contrary circumstances. Are you there? So how do I get faith? By hearing the Word of God. How do I use my faith? My faith must be in God's Word, by words that I speak out of my mouth, not doubting in my heart, having corresponding action to what I believe, and using faith and patience working together. I want to give you three scriptures I want to encourage you to memorize and meditate. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and Romans chapter 10, verse 17.